What is up? Welcome everybody to That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. I am your host, Tim Polari, the commissioner. You can call me commissioner if you want. I'm here with Adam Sauter, co-host Adam Sauter.
Hello.
What is up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Going pretty well over here.
Yeah.
Ready to talk some stupid football.
Yeah.
Or is it dumb. Stupid football, or is it we're stupid and talking about it? I don't know.
I think it might be both.
Okay. It is a stupid game. I mean, let's get that out there right away. Fantasy football is stupid.
Yeah.
I love it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I can't stop watching.
Okay, so let's talk first. We're going to talk about some news, a couple of the recent signings real quick, and then we're going to talk about some rookies. Four rookie running backs we are going to talk about. The players are Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, and Kareem Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into that in just a few minutes. We watched a lot of film on these players, and we have takes. We have comparisons. I'm predicting how many good or relevant fantasy football seasons they're going to have. That's what I'm bringing to the table today.
Wow. You really did your homework.
I did. I really did.
I'm up to that.
Well, that's okay.
Sounds like we're going to hear a lot from you today.
Yeah, I'm just going to keep talking.
Yeah. Well, hey, be my guest.
You can hang up if you want. So first, let's talk about this is a whole show about running backs. Really, last week's episode was all about receivers. So this week is all running backs. Okay. Latavius Murray signs with the Vikings.
Okay.
How excited are you, and how excited should we be?
I think for Minnesota, I think it's an upgrade. I mean, I think it's an upgrade over McKinnon. Obviously, Peterson's gone. You get a guy that's young, fast, strong. Obviously has issues, runs upright. They don't have a good offensive line yet. I mean, maybe they'll draft some guys, who knows, but I think it's a good pickup by them.
Yeah, I agree. It's an upgrade, over Adrian Peterson. Kind of weird to say, but he obviously didn't play much last year anyway. I really like Jerick McKinnon. I'm a big McKinnon fan. I think he's got a lot of talent. I still think he could be the most valuable running back over there in Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Even if Murray was healthy.
Okay.
I still feel that way. I might be drafting McKinnon still in the double-digit rounds. I don't see myself drafting Latavius Murray. Fourth or fifth round, maybe if he slips to the sixth or seventh.
I'm not as excited about him there as if he stayed with the Raiders. I would have definitely had my eyes on him a little bit more if he stayed in Oakland.
Yeah, I mean,
better offense, better line.
Yeah, exactly.
Not as much, even though I was going to say, you know, they don't have as much competition there, but you know, they have some decent running backs there. They're pretty young.
Yeah. So what the heck is Oakland going to do? I know Adrian Peterson has been linked there. Marshawn Lynch has also been linked there.
That's interesting.
I know. I think that could definitely happen.
I like the two guys they got there, Rashard and Washington.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they're two good, like, change of pace backs. I think you don't necessarily need to throw in a star with those guys. You just maybe throw another bruiser in there.
And I mean, Adrian Peterson really would be a good fit there, I think.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have...
Marshawn Lynch would be as well.
Yeah, they wouldn't have to run the ball as much.
Yeah. I would like either one of those players more than Latavius Murray, I think. If Lynch goes there or if Peterson goes to Oakland, I think I would rather one of those guys, maybe over Murray.
Interesting. I don't know if I would, because I wouldn't know what I was getting, if you know what I mean.
It's just you're buying into the offensive line more than you're buying into the player.
Yeah.
Those guys are both old. If that's what route Oakland chooses to sign one of those old backs, Peterson or Lynch, you know, they're both kind of the same guy at this point, just older guys. Yeah, you're buying into the line. I would be more excited if it was Murray, but it's not.
Yeah.
I could see Marshawn Lynch coming in there and having a good month and a half or something like that, and then getting hurt maybe.
Yeah, I'd be in the headache.
Yeah. Yeah, so that could be interesting. Also, Eddie Lacy signs with the Seahawks.
Yeah.
So a couple things this does. We could talk about Green Bay's run game. We could also talk about what this does for Thomas Rawls and CJ Procise in Seattle. Yeah. So where do you want to start with this one?
Let's talk about what it does for Rawls and Procise.
Okay.
Because I think that's a pretty short conversation.
Okay.
I've never been that high on Rawls. I think he's had some great games. He's had some big games, but he seems to always be injured. He seems to, you know, never be completely in favor there in Seattle. Like, even when he was healthy, they've never, like, fully invested in him.
Right. He had a great game in the playoffs this past season, over 100 yards.
Yeah, he's a really tough runner. I mean, I like him, but it's just like it doesn't seem like the Seahawks love him. Like, if they loved him, they probably wouldn't have picked up Eddie Lacy this offseason.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But
it's a good point.
On the flip side, Eddie Lacy's pushing like 270.
So yeah.
Maybe he's just going to be an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I am not buying Eddie Lacy this year at all.
I still feel, even though I don't feel he should be drafted high, I still feel like he'll be drafted higher than he should be in most leagues.
Probably right. Now, what's higher? What's where he should go, and what's higher than he should?
Like, I feel like he should be like 8th to 10th round pick, but he'll be drafted in like the 5th or 6th round.
Okay, no, I think that's a pretty good range. The 6th round, I think that's about right.
I feel like
5th, 6th round.
For me, I just feel it's still high for a guy that's tremendously overweight, who could barely stay on the field this last year, and isn't necessarily the number one guy there.
Yeah, okay, so I think you and I are about on the same page with him, because you're saying you're low on Eddie Lacy.
Yeah, I guess essentially what you're saying, lower than most people, probably.
Yeah. Okay, so I agree. I'm probably right in that same range with you, where I wouldn't touch him until the 7th or 8th round, I think.
Yeah.
But I do like Rawls. I like him in the late rounds, double digit rounds. If he's gonna go in the 11th round,
you think he'll fall?
What's that?
You think he'll fall that far?
Yeah. If Lacy's the number one on the depth chart right now, there's still gonna be people who believe in him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I could see Rawls going in the 10th round.
Yeah, well, where does that put Procise?
I don't know. Where would Procise be if it was just Rawls and Procise? I feel like his value doesn't change much with the addition of Lacy.
Yeah, because he's a different back. Like, he's used differently. So he's going to get his touches no matter what.
Yeah. So he's probably right in that range too with Rawls, especially in PPR leagues, maybe like 8th, 9th rounder, maybe in PPR leagues.
Maybe a little bit lower. I feel just because people don't, he's not as well known. Like, he had some good games this past year, but nothing to like really get people super hyped.
Yeah, he played amazing in that Patriots game. You watch his highlights there. He got a lot of touches. He got like 25 touches in that game and handled them really well. I think the guy is talented enough to be a 3-down back. He's actually proven that at least in a single game.
Yeah.
Over the course of a season's a different story. He probably can't hold up to that. He's not that big.
Jonas Gray had a great couple games. We all have.
Wow, he fell into the end zone.
Yeah.
He fell into the end zone 4 times in 1 game.
Yeah, yeah.
Procise is a talented guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think people are going to go apeshit over him, you know, because of 1 game.
Yeah, I don't know. All I'm saying is, if you're in a dynasty league and that's a dynasty PPR league, I would make the Procise owner an offer.
Okay.
See what they do, because
all right. No, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, we're saying here that we don't believe in Lacy, and the Seahawks really don't believe in Rawls. So that leaves Procise as the most talented guy on their roster. And I'm saying I think he could be a three-down back, or at least a 18-touch-a-game player at his max, and maybe stay healthy with that and tear it up.
Would it be fair to say he is the most exciting guy on that roster for you?
I think so.
Okay.
Sheer talent wise, but I mean, if I'm drafting anyone from that team, if I'm drafting any running back though, it's probably Rawls.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure I see. I mean, I'm not sitting here saying Procise is going to score 200 fantasy points this year. if I had to bet on anyone to do that, it's definitely Rawls.
You like his upside.
I do. I just like him as a player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely not going to ever get away from the running game there. So, You know, that's something they're going to focus on. They just have to improve their.
They have a faster offense.
They have another team like the Vikings that just needs to improve their offensive line.
Yeah.
Those two teams had two of the worst offensive lines in football.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big thing you have to look at when you're drafting running backs. And I mean, it's something I always look at every year, like what teams' offensive lines look really strong.
Yep. It's very important.
Last year for me, that was, and this year too, is Tennessee Titans. You know, and that's why I was like, okay, I can justify drafting DeMarco Murray and drafting Derrick Henry and, you know, knowing that those guys will have an offensive line they can run behind.
I think it's a great call and a very underrated thing that fantasy owners overlook.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it is. And I think you got to be paying attention when you're watching the draft and you're watching the offensive players get scooped up. Also watch what offensive linemen get scooped up, because it can make a big difference. I mean,
Adam, I got to stop you there. You're making good points. This is a stupid show. You sounded too smart.
Too smart? Okay.
Yeah. Dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah, okay. Well, they I just think it's something that you can keep in mind. I mean, look at what Dallas did over the course of 3 years.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, Ezekiel Elliott was a hell of a talent. But even if they didn't draft Ezekiel Elliott, let's say you drafted a running back in the second or third round, that would have been a guy I would have still paid attention to.
Well, no, you said it. 3 years in a row, their line, it produced an incredible season from DeMarco Murray. Yeah. Resurgent season out of Darren McFadden out of nowhere. And then Zeke Elliott. So, I mean, the McFadden season is your point.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And it's something, I mean, obviously you don't put all your stock into it, but it's something to pay attention to when you're looking at running backs, especially when all the top running backs go off the board in the first couple rounds and you're like, shit, who do I pick? Right. You might pick somebody who's not as sexy, but you know he's running behind a good offensive line.
Okay. Now, let's get into our rookie film class session. Okay.
All right.
Get your notebooks out. Get your pencils ready. Let's talk rookie film class.
Not that we expect any of you know how to read or write.
Right. When your professor is this stupid, we're not expecting much out of you. Okay, so let's talk about these four running backs. First up is Dalvin Cook. He is... Now I want to preface this by saying I watched my first bit of these players today in watching highlights and making sure, actually, that you get the wide angle. Because some of those highlight reels that you can find on YouTube, they do like close-ups and field-level shots, and you really get nothing out of that. So you really got to watch like as wide of an angle from above as you can to see the speed and the power and all these things.
Yeah.
And again, I already forget where a lot of these guys went to college because I don't watch college football at all.
Yeah.
And so what you're going to hear from me is just – a fresh perspective on what I saw out of these guys on tape. Real fresh. What about you? Before we get into it, do you watch college football? Do you have any preconceived notions about these guys?
You know, I don't watch a lot of college football, especially not like a lot of regular season college football. Like I'll watch, you know, like if there's like a big primetime game and, you know, there's like, oh, they, you know, like Alabama, it's like, oh, they have all these prospects, you know, I'll watch that. And then, of course, I'll watch the like national championship and maybe some of the big bowl games, you know, during the holidays. But I usually watch, you know, the guys that I hear could be really good, especially on offense, you know, to just kind of see what they look like on the field.
Yeah. I mean, I just wait for the highlights to come out.
Yeah. I mean, well, tomato, tomato.
So let's talk about Dalvin Cook. So this guy is 5'10". He's 210 pounds and he ran a 4.49.
Yeah.
At the combine.
Yeah.
Not bad. It's
not what people thought though.
Yeah, it's for a little perspective. LeSean McCoy ran a 4.45, AP ran a 4.4, Jamaal Charles ran a 4.36.
Yeah.
So he's over a second, a tenth of a second slower than Jamaal Charles. So yeah. One of the things people say about him is how fast he is, and he definitely didn't really run that fast at the combine.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the 40 can be a little misleading because I think there's sometimes when you see a guy he doesn't run as fast of a 40, and you're like, oh, but then you see him on the field, and he just looks so fast. And I think Dalvin Cook is one of those guys where he might not ever get that super fast 40 time, but when he gets on that field and he has that ball in his hand, he can be extremely explosive.
I agree. I wrote down shifty, powerful, fast, not big, but maybe big enough to be someone like Le'Veon Bell at best.
Well,
I think
has a little bit more cut speed than Le'Veon Bell. I think Le'Veon Bell definitely has better vision. But he has that it's just like sometimes he doesn't really dance, but he cuts. Like whereas I feel like Le'Veon Bell will dance a little bit and then just go straight forward. Cook can just like get it on one side of the field and then run to the other side of the field and make everybody miss. He has that kind of special talent, at least that I've seen through in highlights.
Yeah, I also wrote down Ezekiel Elliott as a comparison, sort of like a physical comparison and what he could be at his height. I also wrote down Jamaal Charles because he's not a big guy, but he is a little bit bigger than Charles.
Yeah.
So that was probably not the most accurate comparison, but those are all at their height, at this guy's height, you know, he could be a player as good as, those guys.
And, a lot of comparisons I've read about him is kind of going back a little bit is Edgerrin James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that
kind of like fast running back, but still has power. Not always, you know, really, you know, going to be breaking a ton of tackles, but once he does, he can take off, and jet down the field. I think he's a guy, I'm really interested in, but there's a lot of question marks surrounding his character, you know, and then when people were really disappointed with his combine, a lot of people said maybe he just didn't prep for the combine as he should have, which leads me to believe if you're not prepping for one of the biggest job interviews of your life, how prepared are you going to be once you get on the field?
Yeah, you don't like to see that.
No, and I think from what I've seen, his stock dropped a little bit in terms of where he would be drafted, but I've seen him drafted as high as in the top 10 still in terms of mock drafts.
Yeah. And obviously the NFL is a copycat league. If something works, like for example, Ezekiel Elliott being drafted in the fourth. I think he was drafted fourth overall in the 2016 draft, and then he hit in a big way. So if something like that happens, the next season, teams are much more likely to take a shot on a player in the same spot or in the same area, same position. So
I mean,
I think if this was last year, you know, if Zeke Elliott was never a thing, never existed, then we would be talking about Cook as a second round grade, probably at most.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's got a lot of talent. There's another thing that is a big knock on him is he fumbles. Which, you know, doesn't get tolerated in the NFL game. Whereas in college football, if you're the best talent on the field, you're not going to really be taken off.
Yeah.
Even if you're fumbling the ball. But, you know, that's something that can definitely, you know, be something to keep in mind, especially as a rookie running back.
Yeah.
Taken.
Now, if he goes to a team with, you know, with a dire running back need, like say Philadelphia, for example. Let's use Philadelphia as an example on a lot of these, because if they draft a player, a running back, you know, he's probably going to be their starter.
Yeah, I've seen him. I've also seen him a lot getting in a mock draft, getting taken by the Colts. That's another place.
Okay, yeah, that could be a good place.
Yeah,
I like him on the Colts.
I think both situations are good for him.
Yeah.
I mean,
I could see him having a few good years.
As long as he can catch the ball at the back. If he can really start catching the ball at the backfield really well, he could be a really dangerous player.
Yeah. I could see him having a few good seasons, fantasy football seasons.
A few.
Yeah, really, three. That's it. Think about the players, the running backs that have three good fantasy football seasons. That's
not many.
I mean, it really isn't.
Yeah.
A lot of the running backs that have good seasons, they stick around for a fair amount of time. So I'm actually saying I think he's going to be a successful running back in the NFL. I only see about three really good seasons out of him.
Okay.
For fantasy.
Interesting.
Maybe that's unfair. I mean, it might be.
I don't know where you're getting that, but okay.
I'm getting it from my head.
Okay. Oh, that's a dangerous place.
Yeah, it's the stupid fantasy football show.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I mean, he's a guy that when I saw him play this past year, because I forget what Florida State game I was watching. I was like, wow, this guy's so good. And then I read more and more about him and all these question marks. He's definitely been in trouble before. He fumbles the ball. He has balls.
I got another comparison for you.
Okay.
Willie Parker.
Willie Parker from Pittsburgh?
Yeah. So how many fantasy relevant seasons did he have? He had like two or three fantasy relevant seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
what I'm predicting.
That's at the low end. I think that's a really fair. Okay. I like that. I think he's a little bit. I think, you know, when you really go down there and compare them, there's definitely differences, but I like that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't see him being, you know, being a total standout and special to the level of Le'Veon Bell. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, but I don't either. Yeah. But I do feel like he could be. I feel like he could be a little bit more solid than you think. Like I would give him maybe like 5-6 years where he could have fantasy value.
Like top 24 or top 20 running back seasons.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Maybe you could sprinkle in maybe a couple top 10 running back seasons in there.
Yeah, I could see one maybe.
Depending on where he lands. Like if he lands in Indianapolis or in Philadelphia, like I could see him, you know, as long as he stays focused and really works hard, like he could, you know, he could be some good, really good value.
Yeah, I agree. Indy would be a good spot. Obviously, there's a little bit of a Frank Gore problem there, but
I mean,
by Halloween, he should have the role.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's and the thing about Cook is he's very good in the red zone.
Mm-hmm. I could see that. He's definitely powerful. He can push people.
Yeah.
Push people into the goal line. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's move on to Christian McCaffrey. out of Stanford.
Okay.
McCaffrey, 5'11", 202 pounds. He ran a 4.48, which is a little bit faster than Dalvin Cook, hardly. Basically the exact same speed as Dalvin Cook. I was impressed with his vision. One thing I saw right off the bat, I thought it was impressive. Obviously very speedy. He's shifty.
Yeah.
Comparisons for me are Julian Edelman and Percy Harvin. And then you say, oh, what are you talking about, Commissioner Polari? Those are receivers. Why would you say Christian McCaffrey, a running back, why would you compare him to two receivers? Well, I'm not really sure he's going to make it as a running back in the NFL.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And in fact, I predict zero top 20 running back finishes for Christian McCaffrey.
Okay. Interesting.
Now, again, maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's hard on the guy. I could see him being valuable in fantasy football, but I think he's got to be more of a slash type player where, like Percy Harvin and Edelman, those guys, they kind of play the slot and then they will get some handoffs from time to time. I could see that being his role. And I could also see him being great on punt returns.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll definitely be returning. That's
the first thing. That's what I wrote down, actually. He's a punt returner. He's a special teams guy. Honestly, I don't see him as a huge factor on an NFL offense. I could see him being a 8-touch-a-guy type of player.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. I think I have a little bit more faith for him in terms of a running back. I'm not going to go after the obvious comparison that everyone does because he's white is to say, oh, Danny Woodhead. Mm-hmm. I think he could potentially be somewhat like that because Danny Woodhead can get yards on the ground.
Yeah, he sure can.
And maybe McCaffrey's not as physical, but I think he's a better athlete. And I think, you know, those two running back sets that a lot of teams start to use, he can catch the ball out of the backfield, make some guys miss. I think, whereas you're saying maybe 8 touches, I think he could be up to like 15 in terms of also catching balls out of the backfield and even lining up as a receiver.
Okay, I agree. If he were to get that many touches, he would have to be fantasy relevant because he is extremely athletic.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I don't think he is good enough to be the focus of an offense in the NFL.
Yeah,
to the point where he gets 15 touches.
I don't think he'll be the focus, but I think he'll be like that Swiss Army knife like they used Danny Woodhead.
15 touches a game, I hate to tell you, is the focus of the offense.
Okay. I mean, yeah. I think he could be one of the focal points of an offense, depending on where he goes and depending on how they use him.
Yeah.
I mean, it just depends on the system. I mean, obviously, a lot of people want him to end up in New England. Everyone's mm-hmm. talking about that. I don't know if he will end up there. Is they have a lot of offensive pieces as it is.
Right. But he definitely is a guy that Belichick would love. And he would be he would really never be fantasy relevant if he were drafted by New England.
Yeah.
He'd be a much better NFL player. But he would be on the Patriots for 10 years.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, it really depends on where he's at, where he gets drafted. Because at a place like the Patriots, he'll be more on that end that you said where he'll get like maybe 6 to 8 touches. But if he gets on a team that, you know, where they're going to make him more of a focal point, he could get up to 15 touches where he'll maybe get 6 to 7 rushes and probably get, you know, 5 to 6 catches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He's a guy I can't really put my finger on. He's one of those guys that really depends where he goes.
Yeah.
I couldn't, you know. And he's also one of those guys that doesn't have, like, that extreme burst or that, you know, you know, those things that you're like, oh, he doesn't have the power to break tackles, he doesn't have the extreme burst, but he's one of those guys I could see getting in the league, just working his ass off. And, you know, I mean, his dad's, you know, was a great NFL player. So he comes from a family, you know, where he knows what it takes to be an NFL player. Mm-hmm. So if he puts in the work, you know, I think he's a guy that, you know, depending on his situation, could be of some good value this year, I think.
Yeah, I just don't think for fantasy he's going to be much much excitement there.
Yeah.
I just don't see it. I see him as a career special teams guy and a gadget guy. That's me. Sorry.
But in fantasy football, that gadget guy is relevant. I mean, look how often running backs go down. I mean, I remember last year everyone was fawning over Danny Woodhead.
Oh, well, he had a great game or game and a half or whatever he played last year.
Yeah.
But he had this pass catching role sewed up, and we knew he was successful in it, and would be successful in the NFL in that role. I think, yeah, McCaffrey could be really solid. He could even be good for fantasy. He's got to find the right spot.
Yeah.
And I just don't see him having the talent to where an offensive coordinator and a quarterback and an owner and all these people are going to be like, yeah, that's our guy. Give it to him 18 times a game through the air and on the ground, and be our punt returner.
Yeah. I think you're right. But I do feel like I maybe have a little bit more faith in him than you do.
Okay.
I think he is a guy that he could go in there, put in the work, and really show up a veteran on some team and maybe get that opportunity. Whether he makes the most out of it, I don't know. But I think he's a guy that there's some, you know, question marks. And he did touch the ball a lot at Stanford. So he does have some mileage on him.
Yeah.
So right. I don't know. And he didn't really have a great like this last season. He wasn't that great because I think their team wasn't as good. And,
yeah.
You know, so that goes to show you, if he goes on a bad NFL team, he might not have any value at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. Okay, let's move on to Leonard Fournette out of LSU, right?
Yeah.
He is 6 feet, 240 pounds. And he ran a 4.51,
yeah,
which is really impressive when you put that against Cook and McCaffrey, because it's just about that exact same speed.
Yeah, but just so much bigger.
Oof.
Yeah.
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 I wrote down powerful, big. He likes contact.
Yeah.
Yeah. He looked like he wanted the contact.
He's like, come on, hit me.
Yeah. I'll makes me through. Uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I can't relate to that.
I can't either.
I also wrote down tough to tackle. Yeah, he doesn't look like he's fun to tackle.
Yeah.
And he did kickoffs at LSU or did some?
Did he?
Kickoff returns?
I wasn't aware of that.
In that highlight reel, he did at least one kickoff.
Yeah, I don't think it was something he did usually. It will definitely not be something he does in the pros.
Yeah. Maybe as a rookie, if he doesn't have the role as the full-time running back role yet.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe, no matter where he goes, that he won't have that.
Yeah, I kind of agree. Yeah, this guy looks really good.
Yeah, he's the most polished. The only question marks I, you know, saw about him, he had some ankle injuries that really sidelined him his junior year.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's a guy, if he stays healthy, can be a top running back. You just put him along the same lines as Ezekiel Elliott in terms of production, length of career. You know, I think he's another guy, if he's put in the right situation with a good offensive line, sky's the limit.
Yeah, I'm with you. He's he's great. He looks great on film. Comparisons that I wrote down were Brandon Jacobs, and it's almost not fair, I feel like, to give him that comparison because
Brandon Jacobs sucks.
Yeah, because he seems more talented than Brandon Jacobs ever was already.
Brandon Jacobs was just big.
Yeah, but yeah, he had some great moments in the NFL, and he was pretty effective for a while.
Yeah.
With the Giants. But I do definitely think Fournette will have a better career than Jacobs did in the NFL.
Yeah, I know he will. Unless he gets hurt, he definitely will.
But that might be why he is having some ankle problems. Like, that's definitely something to watch, ankle or foot problems.
Yeah.
He is a bruiser. He's really tall, too.
Yeah.
And he's heavy. So, yeah, those are things that could really shorten his career.
Yeah. Yeah, but especially because he just takes on contact instead of trying to miss it.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard for him to miss it because he's so big.
Right.
Such a big guy. You said you had another comparison?
Derrick Henry.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm just going to go with Adrian Peterson.
Okay.
I think just powerful, fast, I think maybe he doesn't have the moves that Peterson did. I've heard even people compare him to Bo Jackson.
It actually did cross my mind while watching it, but it would really take a lot more than that to compare anyone to Bo Jackson.
Yeah, well, just the idea of a guy who's really big, fast, and strong, and a running back that looks like a linebacker out there. Because he really does look like a linebacker.
Mm.
He's, once again, obviously depends on where he goes. But I think if you're in a keeper league, he's a guy you got to draft early.
Mm-hmm. Where? Fourth round? Fifth round?
Yeah, fourth round for sure. Maybe even third.
Wow. I mean,
especially if he goes into a really good situation where you know he's going to be the man.
Okay, so say he goes to Oakland, and Oakland never signed Marshawn Lynch or Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, of course. I don't. He definitely won't drop that far in the draft unless Oakland trades up. I mean, I've seen him go as high as the fourth pick in the draft to Jacksonville.
Right. Okay. Yeah, Jacksonville's a good call. So if he goes to Jacksonville, and he's got the number one job over there, obviously in front of Ivory and Yeldon.
Yeah.
What's he? So you're saying he's a third rounder?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, depending on how much you value him, if you think he's going to be around for the next 10 years, I mean, you can draft him as high as you want.
First of all,
I mean, definitely not first round. I think it's hard to take a rookie in the first round. But like I said, if you're in a keeper league and you feel like this guy could be your running back, your rookie, you know.
Well, Zeke was drafted in the first round last year.
Exactly.
Lot of drafts. So you're saying.
But I think was Ezekiel Elliott was also his situation. Like, if Fournette gets drafted by the Jags, you know, great, he'll be the number one running back there. But they definitely don't have the offensive line that Dallas does.
Okay, so what if he does go to Oakland? What if Oakland trades up?
I don't know. I mean, then first round. Sure.
Okay.
You know, why not? Right?
You mentioned 10 seasons, like 10 great seasons. That is basically impossible impossible to predict for any player.
Totally. But I'm just saying that's the high end. That's like the Adrian Peterson sort of. I mean, Adrian Peterson's what, had like 8 to 10 good, really good years?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where you kind of put him. If you're going to compare him to that, then you got to just think, okay, well, then that's the very top of it. But even if he gives you 5 good seasons.
Right. And actually,
for league, that's great.
Yeah. That leads me to my final prognosis here. So yeah, he might be in the NFL for 8 seasons. And to predict that for a running back means that person was either a special teamer and like the third string running back, like Brandon Bolden or someone like that, or they were someone like LeSean McCoy, and they were that good for that long.
Yeah, LeSean
McCoy. So he's a lot closer to LeSean McCoy than to Brandon Bolden, but I'm only predicting four standout fantasy football seasons from Leonard Fournette. And the reason is because of his size.
Yeah,
you know, he may be a little bit of a shooting star in that, you know, everyone kind of said about Brandon Jacobs, well, this guy is going to have a good career. He's going to get hurt. He's too tall. He's too upright. Somewhere in there, in that range, I think it is what I'm saying here about Fournette is I think he's so big that his body isn't going to be able to hold up. Like, yeah, watch out for those feet and ankle problems because that's where it's going to hit a guy with that kind of weight.
Okay. All righty. I don't know. I mean, I think going through these backs, you are the pessimist and I am the optimist.
It's just really hard to be a standout fantasy running back for very long. I should have printed out a list from 5 years ago. How many of those guys are relevant today? Because it's probably like two or three.
Yeah. No, I agree. But, you know, when you're looking at the top of the top, then if you look going forward, maybe you pick two or three.
I mean, how many?
You pick Ezekiel Elliott and Fournette. There you go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, because how many guys are drafted? You know, we sit here every draft season. We say, oh, this is the list of running backs. No matter where they end up, they're going to be successful. They're going to be fantasy guys. Everyone gets all excited about the rookies. And turns out like one or two guys a year that are drafted ever have a good fantasy football season, a top 20 fantasy football season.
It doesn't have to be a first, second round guy anymore. I mean, look at some of the guys coming out now. I mean, you know, you get plenty of guys that get drafted in lower rounds that can really stand out.
David Johnson.
Look at Jordan Howard out of the Bears, fifth round pick.
Yep.
Now he's going to be a, you know, probably second round pick this year on, you know, most drafts.
Right. But yeah, and that's... that's kind of what I meant, what I was speaking to earlier when I said that it worked so well with Ezekiel Elliott last year that other running backs would get drafted higher than they would have normally if Ezekiel Elliott was never a thing.
Yeah.
I agree.
But I think now on the flip side, you know, you say it's a copycat league. You'll get the teams that will draft Fournette high, draft Cook high, maybe even draft McCaffrey higher than he should be. But then on the flip side, then you'll get the teams that don't draft a running back early that go, oh, well, we can wait for a guy in the fourth, fifth round now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it goes both ends, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting position.
Yeah, I hear you. And we're pretty much out of time. That really went by fast. We didn't really get to Kareem Hunt. We can cover him real quick in this outro if you want to.
Kareem Hunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I don't think can ever down back.
Yeah, I'm surprised to see him getting as good of a grade as he got from some people out there. I picked a couple lists real quick and took a look. Kareem Hunt's out of Toledo. He's a senior. Yeah. He's 5'10", 216 pounds, ran a 4.62, which is by far the slowest on this list. Yeah. I don't see him really being... I kind of see him as like a... just going by the wayside, you know? Being one of these guys that is talked about now and, you know, he'll be on roster. He's like a Donald Brown, right? Someone like that.
Yeah.
He's going to be on rosters for... 5 seasons, but he's really never going to make an impact in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I apologize, Kareem Hunt, but I give you zero relevant fantasy football seasons.
Okay. I mean, he looked pretty impressive out there, but we have to also understand he was, you know, playing against a lot of teams. Western Michigan's a really good team last year, but for the most part, he's playing against teams that just weren't that good. You know, a guy of that size,
yeah,
be able to break tackles like he was.
Yeah, not too excited about Kareem Hunt. So
another guy that wasn't mentioned that you didn't, I'm a little interested in, is Alvin Kamara.
We're gonna do a second part of this.
Okay.
Yeah, this was just the first four. This isn't the only four running backs we're gonna talk about.
Well, he's from Tennessee, and I think he's probably good to solve.
Okay. Well, we'll get to him next week.
Okay.
And we'll do these guys before the draft. We'll do them hard.
Oh, I can't wait.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening to That Stupid Fantasy Football Show. We will be back with more soon.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for listening.